All glories to the Asana's devotee. All glories to the Asana's devotee. All glories to the Asana's devotee. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 18, passing away of Bhishma Dev. Esha Vai Bhagavan Sakshad.
Esha Vai Bhagavan Sakshad.
Adya Narayana Puman.
Adya Narayana Puman.
Mahayamayaya Lokam.
Mahayamayaya Lokam.
Buddhas Charati Vishnishu.
Buddhas Charati Vishnishu.
Chant.
Esha Vai Bhagavan
Sakshad.
Adya Narayana
Puman. Mahayamaya Lokam.
Buddhas
Charati Vishnishu.
Esha Vai Bhagavan Sakshad.
This.
Vai.
Positively.
Positively.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
Personality of Godhead.
Personality of Godhead.
Sakshat.
Sakshat.
Original.
Original.
Adya.
Adya.
The first.
The first.
Narayana.
Narayana.
The Supreme Lord who lies down on the water.
The Supreme Lord who lies down on the water.
Puman.
Puman.
The Supreme Enjoyer.
Mahayan,
bewildering.
Mayaya,
Maya,
by
his self-created energy.
Lokam,
the planets.
Gurudaha,
who is inconceivable.
Charati,
moves.
Vishnishu,
among the Vishnu family. Translation. This Shri Krishna is no other than the inconceivable original personality of Godhead. He is the first Narayana, the supreme enjoyer. But he is moving amongst the descendants of King Vishnu, just like one of us. And he's bewildering us with his self-created energy. Purport. The Vedic system of acquiring knowledge is a deductive process. The Vedic knowledge is received perfectly by the cyclic succession from authorities. Such knowledge is never dogmatic, as ill-conceived by less intelligent persons. The mother is the authority to verify the identity of the father. She is the authority for such confidential knowledge. Therefore, authority is not dogmatic. In the Bhagavad Gita, this truth is confirmed, 4th chapter, BG 4.2. And the perfect system of learning is to receive it from authority. The very same system is accepted universally as truth, but only the false arguer speaks against it. For example, modern spacecraft fly in the sky. And when scientists say they travel to the other side of the moon, men believe these stories blindly because they have accepted the modern scientists as authorities. The authorities speak, and the people in general believe them. But in the case of Vedic truths, they have been taught not to believe. Even if they accept them, they give a different interpretation. Each and every man wants a direct perception of Vedic knowledge, but foolishly, they deny it. This means that the misguided man can believe one authority of the scientists, but will reject the authority of the Vedas. The result is that people have degenerated. Here's an authority speaking about Sri Krishna as the original personality of Godhead and the first Narayan. Even such an impersonalist as Acharya Shankara has said in the beginning of his commentation on Bhagavad Gita that Narayana, the personality of Godhead, is beyond the material creation. The universe is one of the material creations, but Narayana is transcendental to such material paraphernalia. Bhishma Deva is one of the 12 Mahajans who know the principles of transcendental knowledge. His confirmation of Lord Sri Krishna as being the original personality of Godhead is also corroborated by the impersonal Shankara. All other acharyas have also confirmed this statement, and thus there is no chance of not accepting Lord Sri Krishna as the original personality of Godhead. Bhishma says that he is the first Narayan. This is also confirmed by Brahmaji in Bhagavatam 10.14.14. Krishna is the first Narayan. In the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, there are unlimited numbers of Narayanas who are all the same personality of Godhead and are considered to be the plenary expansions of the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The first form of the Lord Sri Krishna first expands himself as the form of Baladeva. And Baladeva expands in so many other forms, such as Sankarshan, Pradumna, Anuruddha, Vasudeva, Narayana, Purusha, Rama, and Nishinra. All these expansions are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva, and Sri Krishna is the original source of all the plenary expansions. He is therefore the direct personality of Godhead. He is the creator of the material world, and he's the predominating deity known as Narayana in all the Vaikuntha planets. Therefore, his movements amongst human beings are another sort of bewilderment. Therefore says in Bhagavad Gita that foolish persons consider him one of the human beings without knowing the intricacies of his movements. The bewilderment regarding Sri Krishna is due to the action of his twofold internal and external energies upon the third one called marginal energy. The living entities are expansions of his marginal energy, and thus they are sometimes bewildered by the internal energy and sometimes by the external energy. By internal energetic bewilderment, Sri Krishna expands himself into unlimited numbers of Narayanas and exchanges or accepts transcendental loving service from living entities in the transcendental world. And by his external energetic expansions, he incarnates himself in the material world amongst the men, animals, or demigods to reestablish his forgotten relation with the living entities in different species of life. Great authorities like Bhishma, however, escape his bewilderment by the mercy of the Lord. Mukam karati vachalam pangam lankate girin yakti pantamam bande shi guru timatayam omakyana timarandasya gyananjala shakara shakshu miditam yena dasama shi garve. So we are here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra after the battle has finished. And who is there? Bhishma. He's still there. He's still alive. He's still alive on the bed of arrows. And the Pandavas have come. All the sages have come. And even Lord Krishna has come to see him at the time of death. And this is described in Nectar of Devotion, the quality of Krishna's compassion. When Grandfather Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows, Bhishma was very anxious to see Krishna. So Krishna appeared. I mean, you have to be really anxious. But he was so anxious. He was lying on the bed of arrows, and he just waited on that bed for so many days just to see Krishna, the time of death. Upon seeing the pitiable condition of Bhishma, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. Not only was he shedding tears, he also forgot himself in his compassion. I wonder what Krishna was saying to him. That would be interesting to know. It's not recorded here. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, this is from Nectar Devotion, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. So how many times in this purport we heard that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original, first one, it's Krishna. It's Krishna. But the devotees, now here's Nectar Devotion, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. And so even though Nectar Devotion refers to Bhishma lying in the bed of arrows, still Radharani is also referred to here. That's his compassionate nature. And so Bhishma Dev, he's saying Krishna is Bhagavan, Krishna is Adya. When Srila Prabhupada was once on a morning walk with Gurudas, Prabhupada asked the question, how do you know Krishna is God? So one devotee said, because it says in Bhagavad Gita, and that's what this purport says too, it says the Vedic authorities, the Mahajans, everybody has said, Krishna is Bhagavan. So Prabhupada's answer was, someone can say that's just a book. So then Gurudas said, well, because you say so, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, someone will say, what does he know? He's an old man. So, wrong answer. So then Prabhupada said, the answer is because you feel ecstasy. You feel blissful. You feel the nectar. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Now, there was a second time the Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and he asked the same question. And Gurudas said, I know the answer. That's the nectar. The proof is in the nectar. And Prabhupada said, no, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So we're bewildered by Krishna, we're bewildered by Prabhupada sometimes too. And he's very bewildering. Sometimes he'll say one thing, sometimes he'll say another thing. And so Prabhupada asked this question to Srupa Damodar. Are you convinced? Are you convinced that matter comes from life, not life comes from matter? Are you convinced? Otherwise, how can you write? Srupa Damodar said, yes, I'm convinced. Prabhupada said, then why don't you write in scientific language? All the material elements have come from life. So you first of all become convinced and then try to convince others. And that is Lord Chaitanya's instruction. Bharata bhumi te haile manushya janmajar janmashata korikoro pura bakar. First make your life perfect, then try to make others. So one time, Prabhupada was talking with the GBC members in Los Angeles, and they were discussing about their zones, and all the GBC men were sitting there, and Prabhupada looked at them, and he asked that question, are you all convinced? And Jagadish said, well, we just sat there. Nobody said anything for 2 minutes. It was one of the heaviest moments of my life. Prabhupada challenging us, are you convinced? Are you sincere? And Satsarup Maharaj also asked, was describing the same situation that Prabhupada is challenging us. Do you believe Krishna is God? He said he believed, and he believed on fact. But did we? What he was really asking was, are you really ready to follow me and be strong preachers on behalf of Krishna? It was almost as if he expected us to answer him then and there, but no one did. The room was quiet, but tense. He drove us inside ourselves to ask, do I believe Krishna is God? I felt my shortcomings. I knew my convictions were untested and theoretical. And so we have to ask ourselves that question. Are we convinced? We heard this purport in so many places. Prabhupada's quoting from Bhagavad Gita, from Bhagavatam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's very interesting that this is Bhishma's conclusion after talking about time. Time is bewildering, we can't understand it, and it seems like it's Krishna, time is Krishna. Now he's saying, yeah, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so if you're confused or you're bewildered about time, well, just see Krishna behind it, Krishna's hand, when things happen to you and you're bewildered. And so this verse of Bhishma instructions is very similar to the beginning of Kunti's prayers. The first thing she says is Namashe Purusham Twadyam. You are the original person, Krishna. I offer my obeisances to you because you are the original personality. And you are both within and without everything, but you're invisible. So Krishna's inside, Krishna's over here, he's the deities, Krishna's, Prabhupada said, you're not sitting on the floor, you're sitting on Krishna. Krishna's everywhere. We can't see him. Of course, we can see him over here. Lucky. So we have obstacles to seeing Krishna. And Kunti tells us, she lists the obstacles. Maya javanika chanam agyat hoksijam avyayam nalakshise mudhadisha nato natya taro yatha. She says, being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You're invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor, just as a player, is not recognized. And so Prabhupada is saying that we're bewildered by Krishna. He's invisible. And so Kunti is saying, why? How is he invisible? Well, first of all, our eyes are covered by Maya. There's a curtain of Maya. Maya Javanika Chana. Second of all, he's a hoksaja. He's beyond our limited perception. And Prabhupada, in a lecture, describes this word. That hoksaja can be divided into two. Aksaja means our direct perception, and adaha, put down. So Krishna, we can't see Krishna because he's beyond our direct sense perception. Our sense perception is put down. We're in the darkness. So the sun is there in the sky, but if you're in darkness at night, you can't see the sun. So people, we want to see God with our eyes. The sun is everywhere, but my eyes are covered. So we're defeated. Our eyes are defeated by Krishna. And who else cannot see Krishna? Kunti says, mudha drisha. If you have the vision of a mudha, you all know what a mudha is. That's a fool or an ass. The vision of fools. And this was one of Prabhupada's favorite words. If you look in database, so many thousand times. And he used to walk on June Beach with Dr. Patel. And he would call him mudha. And Dr. Patel would complain, why you're calling me mudha? And Prabhupada would say, I'm not saying it. Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, namam duskritano mudha. Prabhadyante naradama. Anyone who doesn't surrender to me is mudha, yes. So if we're seeing like a mudha, then we won't see Krishna in our life. We won't see Krishna in our day. We have to change our vision to shastra chakshusha, vision of the scriptures. So if we study Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us how we can see him. He says, soham apsukonteya, you drink water. You can see me in the water. If you taste water, think of Krishna. And so we have to purify our eyes. There's so many of I am the light of the sun and the moon. And so Brahma Samhita says, premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena, that we have to put on our eyes the medicine of prema, love of Godhead. And if we put that on our eyes, then we can see Krishna. Otherwise, he'll remain invisible. So how can we see Krishna? Well, let's go to Bhagavad Gita. There's a purport in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 72, last verse in chapter 2. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, one can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once, within a second, or one may not attain such a state of life, even after millions of births. So one time somebody in Australia asked that question, how long does it take to be Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, 1 second. So how is it that we're still not Krishna conscious after 50 years? It may take some years. So what does Prabhupada say? How can we be Krishna conscious? He says two things. Two things. Prabhupada says, it is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. We have to accept the fact, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am his servant, and we have to understand it too. Prabhupada says, Kadvang Maharaj attained the state of life just a few minutes before his death by surrendering unto Krishna. So understanding, well, understanding, could we understand? We hear it, and it goes in our brain and we understand it. But do we accept it? If we really accept it, then our behavior will change. We'll see a change in behavior. And so understanding is kind of like theoretical knowledge or jnana. And accepting, like putting into practice in our life, is more like vijnana or practical knowledge. And so Gita says, janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakra deham punarjama naiti mamiti sorjana. If you understand my birth and activities, then you will be liberated. You will not take birth again. So we have to accept, I'm servant of Krishna. I have to adopt the service attitude. And Prabhupada, when he lectured on that verse, he's more merciful than Krishna, so that's why it's good to take shelter of a pure devotee rather than Krishna directly. Because in his lecture, Prabhupada said, you know, the verse says, anyone who understands Krishna, his birth and activities, and Prabhupada says, even if you don't understand, you just try to understand. Because how can we understand? It's really beyond us how Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you just try to understand, you will be liberated. So how to accept Krishna? We must chant, Prabhupada said, we must chant Hare Krishna like a child crying for its mother. And in his first lecture, he said, Mother Hara helps the living entity achieve the grace of the Father Hari. And so if we cry loud enough when we chant, then Mother Radharani will pick us up and give us to Krishna. And so Prabhupada often in his lectures with about chanting, he would say, we must say to Krishna, please accept me, please accept me. And in another lecture, he explained that when we actually chant very nicely, please accept me, please accept me, Krishna will come and he will say, please accept me, please accept me. And I think he does that a lot, but we are kind of not so focused. And that is what Prabhupada said when he was lecturing. We have only one problem. When we wake up, we think, oh, I've got all these problems. No, we only have one problem. And that's how to accept Krishna. That's our problem. And so next time you're faced with a problem, then remember, you only have one problem. How to accept Krishna. And so now it's important to accept Krishna. How do we accept Krishna? How do we increase our attachment to Krishna? In one of the purports in Bhagavatam, 9942, Prabhupada gives a four-point program. How to go to asakti, attachment. So what does he say in the purport? He says, if one daily sees a deity in the temple, makes offerings by worshipping the deity, chants the holy name of the Personality of Godhead, and preaches about the glorious activities of the Lord as much as possible, he says, becomes attached to Krishna. So deity worship, see the deity, make offerings, chant the holy name, and preach. That was his four-point program to get asakti. So Prabhupada, and in the purport he says, this attachment is called asakti. When one's mind is attached to Krishna, maya asakta mana, one can fulfill the mission of life in one human birth. So we have often heard that we have two parallel lines, Pancha, Chiki, Viti, and Bhagavat Viti. That's the deity worship and the Bhagavata Viti, Shravana Kirtana. So we combine these two. We study Bhagavad Gita, verse 1865. Manmana, Bhagamad Bhakto, Majati, Mam, Namaskaro, Mam, Vibhashasi, Satyam, Te, Pati, Chane, Piyosi, Me. That always think of me, become my devotee, worship me. So, how do we do that? Bhagavatam expands on these two verses from Bhagavad Gita, 1865 and 1866, by the words of Shukadeva Goswami in his prayers before he spoke Bhagavatam, he actually included two verses which are very similar to the end of 18th chapter, and Prabhupada has quoted these verses in one of the purports. So I'll tell the verse of Shukadeva Goswami. The first one, 15, is compared to 1865. Always think of me. Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam, yat vandanam, yat shavanam, yat arhanam. Lokasya sadyo vitanoti kamasham tasmai supadra shanse namo namaha. Let me offer my respectful obeisance unto the all-auspicious Lord Shri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrance, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. So it's very interesting. He has included a new, Shukadeva has included a new thing instead of the nine processes. Ikshanam, just by seeing. Just by seeing Krishna, the seeing the deity, you will advance in spiritual life. And Prabhupada does pick up on this in his lecture on this verse. He says, either you glorify or meditate on him, yad kirtanam, yad smaranam, or ikshanam. Just sit down in front of the deity and see him. That's all. That's all you have to do. Do nothing. Just see the deity. How nicely dressed is Krishna? How nicely dressed is Radharani? And he expands ikshanam to not only seeing the deity, but seeing the book. If you're in book distribution and someone sees the book, they're seeing Krishna. Very interesting. And if they open the book, they'll see more, Prabhupada says. And so and even if they touch the book, they get benefit. I heard when Sankirtan, well, it wasn't a Sankirtan story, but when devotees were upset because in the book distribution in the 70s, they would distribute books and sometimes people would rip them up and put them in the garbage. And so they told Prabhupada, you know, they rip up the books. And Prabhupada said, did they touch the book? And the devotee said, yes. And, oh, they're benefited. So, also, I also heard a Sankirtan story, or it was a remembrance. Somebody came to Krishna consciousness, they found a ripped up Back to Godhead in the garbage, and they read it, and they became a devotee. And so, if they just see the book, and I heard also one story when devotees saw the picture of Prabhupada, and oh yeah, that's my guru. You know, they're just very, very powerful to see. Prabhupada says, you can't chant, your mind is so disturbed, you can't meditate. You're given this chance, just go see the deity. He said, just like the children, they can't meditate, they just sit down and see Krishna. Here is Krishna, here is Radharani. Very interesting, yes. Yad vandanam, and if you're still more intelligent, then offer prayers. Day before yesterday, I saw a video from Vrindavan. Purushottam month, so many people are doing parikrama. So there's one video of these children, like between age 10 to 15, or maybe 8 to 15, they're all doing dandavat parikrama around Vrindavan. You offer obeisances, you put a stone, and then you put your feet where the stone, you put your stretch your hands out. And then after that, I saw another video of a little 4-year-old girl all by herself doing dandavat parikrama of Vrindavan. I didn't see her parents. And there were people coming and taking the dust of her feet from behind. Little 4-year-old girl. It's Vandanam, prayers. How they're worshiping Vrindavan. Amazing. Or that could be Padasevanam. Arhanam deity worship, Prabhupada said, if you're expert trained by your spiritual master, then that's Arhanam. You worship the deity. If you go to Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Verse 35, it is said that if you come and see the deity, you're imperceptibly liberated, even against your will. Just come and see the deity, and Krishna will get you. Even if you don't want to be liberated, you'll be liberated against your will. So that's for us who don't want to be liberated, who would rather kind of wear a little attached here. Just go see Krishna. As it says in Nectar of Devotion, once you see his smiling face, you won't want to go back home. And so that's Arhanam, Ikshanam, Ikshanam. And what happens if you follow this, what Shukadev says, and very soon, Lokasya Sadyo Vitunoti Kalmasham, material contamination, will be washed off. Sadya means immediately. So now the second verse of Shukadev, he says, let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto the auspicious Lord Shri Krishna. So remember, Bhagavad Gita, this one is very close to Bhagavad Gita. Give up all varieties of religion, surrender to me. I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. Now there's a kind of an update or upgrade here in Shukadev's verse. And see if you can catch it. I'm going to read the sentence now where he prays to Krishna. And it's an upgrade from Bhagavad Gita 1866. Here's the sentence. The highly intellectual, simply by surrendering to his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to present and future existences, and without difficulty progress towards spiritual existence. Did anybody catch the difference between this? I mean, it says the same thing basically, but 1866 says, it says one thing, and this one says a little bit of an upgrade. Of course, maybe it's included in 1866, but we don't know. Anybody catch that? If you didn't, I'll tell you. So 1866 says, Krishna says, I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. So basically, when you hear that, you think, in the past, I did something. Shukadeva is saying, you will relieve from present and future existences. So, I mean, so it's an upgrade to present. Even something you do now and something in the future you do, you'll be protected. Right. Of course, we shouldn't take advantage and do sinful activities. But so then in the purport, Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita 1866. So here this translation and see how it is different from the one we usually hear in Bhagavad Gita. Let me offer my respectful obeisances. Oh, no, sorry. My dear Arjuna, you are very dear to me. And therefore, only for your good, I will disclose the most secret part of my instructions. So that's verse 64. It is simply this. Become a pure devotee of mine. And now we come to 1866. And give yourself unto me only. And I promise you full spiritual existence by which you may gain the eternal right of transcendental loving service unto me. So here, Prabhupada quotes Krishna as saying, give yourself to me. It's more like a lover giving himself. And Bhagavad Gita, surrender to me, and Amma may come, only me. But here, Prabhupada is saying, give yourself to me. So I thought that's a beautiful translation of that verse from Bhagavad Gita. And so he's asking us to surrender. If we read Bhagavad Gita, then we know Krishna is calling us, give yourself to me, Amma may come. And Prahlad, in his prayers, he tells us, gives us some good reasons why we should surrender. In one prayer, he says that, you know, you've created the subtle bodies of the living entities through your external energy, which is agitated by time. Here comes time again. And because of time, we're entrapped in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled. So who can get free from this entanglement unless you take shelter at your lotus feet? So that was one verse. And then the next verse, he says, I'm being crushed by time. By the wheel of time. You're supreme, but as for me, as for myself, I'm being crushed by the wheel of time, therefore I surrender unto you. And so these are reasons why we should surrender. If you're thinking, why should I surrender? Well, here's some good reasons. We're being crushed by time. And so all of this, Bhishma is talking about time, now we're hearing about time. Time is crushing. So Prabhupada, in his lecture on this Prahlad's verse, he says, if one is serious to be saved from crushing of time, they should learn from Prahlad. What should we learn? And Prabhupada gives us a prayer in the purport. Kindly pick me up. He quotes Lord Chaitanya Shikshastakam, Ayananta Tanucha Kinkaram Patiramam. I'm your servant, somehow I'm drowning in this ocean, please pick me up. But in Prahlad's prayer, Prahlad says, you are Vibhu, you're most powerful, you can do it. And so then Prabhupada says, well, the Lord may say, yes, I am, but why should I pick you up? So then Prahlad says, Prapanam, now I surrender. I surrender to you, that's why. I know I rebelled against you, I put in this wheel of time, I'm suffering life after life. Now I realized I'm in a dangerous condition. So then Prahlad goes on to say, or another reason why we should surrender, because he saw that, you know, there's demigods, there's people want to go to higher planets, they want to enjoy. And I've seen all of these things. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were vanquished just by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. And so, you know, it's not so good. You know, even if you're up in the heavenly planets, who knows what can happen up there. And he said, yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. So our life is temporary. That's another reason why we should surrender. And we see that so many things are temporary in this world. When Krishna comes as death, he takes everything away. And so Prabhupada, he was on a morning walk, he saw a sign, detour, temporary inconvenience, permanent improvement. And Prabhupada commented, permanent inconvenience, no improvement. So that's this whole material world in a few words by Prabhupada. Permanent inconvenience, no improvement. And so that's, here we are. Here we are in this material world. And I was, when after, I was in Christchurch, New Zealand, after they had an earthquake, and there were signs on the road for the speed limit, 30, temporary, 40, temporary, because they were rebuilding the whole city, crashed within a few seconds. In less than a minute, the whole city was finished in an earthquake. And so there was all these signs around about everything's temporary. You really got the idea, everything's temporary. Because the whole city was temporary, and now the speed limits, now they know everything's temporary. So, yeah. Then the next verse, Prahlad says, you know, I have experience about worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity, material pleasures. It's powerful time, you destroy them all. So because of my experience, I don't want to possess them. Please place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. So better to be servant of the servant. So then the last, oh no, not the last. There's one last reason why we should surrender. There's no happiness here. Yeah, Prahlad says, in this material world, every living entity wants happiness, which is like a mirage in the desert. So happiness is very difficult to obtain. But because they are unable to control their senses, they run after the happiness of this world. So, what is the news of this world? That question was asked, what is the news? Maharaj Yudhisthira answered, we are in a frying pan here. In this whole material world is a frying pan. Time is the cook. The sun is the fire. And days and nights are the fuel. So we're all being cooked by time. Time is the cook. Yeah. And so now, when the last verse Prahlad talks about surrender, is a good reason to surrender. He said, oh my Lord, because I was born in a family full of hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? What is to be said of your causeless mercy, never offered even to Brahma, Shiva, or Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand on their heads, but you have put it upon mine. And so that was his realization. You surrender, you'll get causeless mercy, because we're all like, we need causeless mercy, we're all kripa, kripa siddhas. We can't do our sadhana properly, we can't hear properly, it takes us so many times to hear. And so we need the mercy. We need the mercy of Prabhupada, we need the mercy of Krishna. And so Prabhupada, in his purport on that verse, said, Nishimadev kindly placed his hand on the head of Prahlad. This is the meaning of causeless mercy. Causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone, regardless of his position in this material world. So we all got causeless mercy. Somehow or other, we're here. And we don't know how we're here. Except those who are born in the movement, of course, they know how they're here. But those of us who came, we're kripa by mercy. And so if we follow what Bhagavatam says, if follow the process of deity worship, we do our chanting, we develop attachment for Krishna and go back to Godhead. So again, Krishna has appeared in two ways in this age of Kali, described by Chituketu in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. He has appeared before us as Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. Shabda Brahma is chanting the holy name, reading Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam. And Param Brahma is the deity. He's appeared as the deity in this Kali Yuga also. And so we can take advantage seeing the deity, chanting Hare Krishna. Understand, accept him, and go back to Godhead. So we'll stop here. Any questions? Or comments? Yes?
One second.
You need a microphone.
Yeah, just for the purpose of the online listeners, could all question askers please keep the mic to their mouth?
Well, I was just listening to you talking about so many reasons in the scriptures that said we should surrender.
Can you keep the...
What?
No. The mic.
Well, she's not wearing it.
No, you.
No, she is.
Oh, because she's not talking on one of those. Okay,
thank you.
Sorry about that. I haven't been here for a while. So, I'm asking myself, how do we surrender?
How to surrender?
You know, it's not just. I mean, every group, even the voidists, they think surrender means to give up your ego and just be selfless and be passive. But Prabhupada, he gave us six guidelines of surrender. I don't think he gave them to us, but he's just repeating
it's
them.
It's from the scripture.
They first came out in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya on the original volume. I remember back in 1960 or 9 when it came out. I even remember it was on page 123. And it gave different things you can do, such as so many choices you can make all day, things that will make you more Krishna conscious. And there's some, like you're reading or anything, you know, there's so many examples. So many things you can do that will make you more covered, like going to a nonsense movie or watching some stupid TV or... talking Prajalpa, and also I never can remember all six of them, but one is to depend on Krishna completely, that he will, that unless Krishna, do you remember how that?
Atmanivedan, yes, accept everything favorable.
Right,
reject everything unfavorable, accept Krishna as your protector.
Uh-huh.
And accept Krishna as your maintainer, and then Atmanivedam, depend on him completely, accept this surrender, completely, have no desire separate from Krishna, and the last one is humility.
Yeah. Humility. So just one more thing I want to say on that idea of becoming passive and egoless and just doing what you're told. I was in the room with Bhagavan Das back 51 years ago. And he got a letter, he opened a letter from Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told him, he said, "My dear Bhagavan, please accept my blessings. I'm so glad to see that whenever someone comes to serve Krishna, you know how to engage him as he likes to serve Krishna, not forcing him to do anything that he does not like to do." But then he repeated, "But I'm so happy that you have developed that art." So I've never forgotten that. And I was just talking to some devotee that I hadn't seen in many years. And he was saying that he was doing some stuff he didn't want to do, and he wanted to do some maintenance. And he said, "I remember that time you told me what Prabhupada wrote to Bhagavan." He remembered that for many years. Anyway, thank you.
Well, thank you. Nice comment. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
In the purport,
yeah.
Prabhupada writes, the bewilderment regarding Sri Krishna is due to the action of his twofold internal and external energy. External energy I can see because I am in it. Can you explain me what the line Prabhupada writes, I'm not grasping it. Can you help me? The living entities are expansion of his marginal energy.
Right.
And then the next line he goes, by the internal energy,
yeah.
By internal energy bewilderment, Sri Krishna expands. How it is bewilderment to us? To marginal
by
potential.
By internal energetic bewilderment. So you're asking, how are we bewildered by the internal energy?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
When we go to Krishna, we get bewildered by the internal energy. In Goloka, everyone's bewildered by the internal energy. So when we go there, we're marginal, but then we'll be bewildered by his internal energy in Krishna Loka. Here we're bewildered by the external energy. But as devotees, we can change external into internal. That's the process of Krishna consciousness.
No, so, my question is how you get bewildered as a marginal potency, how they experience bewilderment from internal potency.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's when we go to the spiritual world, then we get bewildered by the internal potency.
What is the bewilderment?
That we think Krishna is your son, Krishna is your lover, Krishna is your friend, and we don't see that he's Supreme Personality of Godhead.
But then it conflicts the structure of the living entity, the marginal structure, that there are three things are eternal. From the structure that our eternal nature,
right.
Our eternal function, and our eternal position.
Right.
Our eternal position is servant.
Right.
Function is service.
Right.
And nature is love.
Right.
Those are accommodated by the internal potency. It's not a bewilderment, it's a natural.
Yeah, it's a natural, but we get bewildered when we think we're better than Krishna. The friends, they fight with Krishna and they say, I will defeat you. So,
that's for the increasing rasa.
Yeah, but it's also bewilderment by the internal.
Oh, I see. But it's not the bewilderment of the material experience.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's like a...
Yeah, and we think we're bewildered by Krishna into thinking he's my son, he's my lover, he's my this, and he's not God. So that's the bewilderment of the internal energy.
But nobody thinks over there, neither it is criticized or bad.
Right.
It's all good.
Yeah.
But here it is, okay.
Yeah.
Also, Lord Brahma, when he changed all the boys and all the cows, he was totally bewildered when he saw them
again.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Brahma was bewildered.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brahma was bewildered when he stole the calves and cowherd boys. Okay? Jai, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Here's comment. There was a devotee in LA who would take the ripped up books and brought back from the airport and mailed the pages to people whose names she'd gotten from the phone book. Wow. I'd like to share my dear brother worked at Memphis Airport, had seen books in garbage and thought not respectful, had rescued it from the garbage. Whoa, beautiful. Beautiful, thank you. Yeah, wow.
2416 has what?
A new translation of 1864, if you my dear children.
Salvador Manfred.
Yeah, yeah. He quotes basically 64 to 66. Yeah. A beautiful, I mean, he translates 66 like 100 different ways, but this is the most beautiful one. So,
my dear Arjuna, you are my dear, very dear to me. Therefore, only for your good, I will disclose the most secret part of you. It is simply this: become a pure devotee of mine, which not
that's
in the Bhagavad Gita.
65, yeah, that's basically.
Yeah, give yourself unto me. Oh, I see. But in the Bhagavad Gita translation, this is
no,
not there.
It says surrender to me.
Surrender.
Surrender.
What's the give yourself?
Yeah, that's like a lover. Giving yourself.
Oh, I see.
Like a friend, like a lover.
Surrender generally connotation.
Bow down.
In America, there is a connotation,
yeah,
no?
Yeah, surrender means.
We are having fight, you surrender or
yeah,
I see.
Surrender
okay.
Means, okay, just bow down.
I like that. That's good. Thank
isn't
you.
That cool?
Yeah.